Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, last time we left off, starting with the issue of looking at this idea of his coming and discussing the idea of how the scriptures identify two different comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. One coming related to the prophetic program, and one coming related to the information given to us as the members of the body of Christ for this dispensation. And how those two comings that are actually made a reference to are two distinct things that the scriptures lay out. Where we left off last time, well, let's go back over to Matthew chapter number 24. And we're going to look at the issue of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the prophetic program. And here in Matthew 24, we saw how verse number 3 speaks about the question that the disciples ask him, when it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And how the disciples are asking about what prophetic signs are actually going to occur prior to his coming to establish the kingdom here upon the earth. And what you see the Lord Jesus Christ do is he starts to answer this and lays out these signs. You see verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And then he continues on, laying out all of these different signs. We see verse 15 lays out the issue of the midpoint of this 70th week, so we get an idea of where we are at time-wise according to the prophetic program. That the issues here are future things laid out during that time. And how in verse number 14 you see even the message is being preached when it says, "In this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So the gospel of the kingdom, that's the gospel message that we see that they're preaching during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it will pick up again as God is starting to deal with the nation of Israel again. And that gospel message is the fact that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that had come according to the prophetic program, and that they had to believe that that's who he was. That's a distinct gospel from the one that Paul identifies, calls his gospel, and that's the gospel that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Someone puts their trust in that and that alone. They have their salvation, and they also have the guarantee of their salvation, and they don't have to worry about the issue of how we're, the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse number 13 of Matthew 24, "And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." That the issue, as we're looking at here in the book of Matthew, laying out these signs, getting them to the establishment of the kingdom, that there's an issue of them enduring to the end, them having to perform all the things according to the law, doing the things to maintain that salvation. Now we see how as you continue on through Matthew chapter number 24, that the Lord Jesus Christ is laying out all of these different signs of things that are going to be happening. Where we skip down here to verse number 29 here in the chapter, and it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now those are the signs that you see if you go over into the book of Joel. You see how the prophet Joel identifies that there's a number of signs that are going to occur before the day of the Lord happens. These are the things that we see here in verse number 29 being laid out. And then you see how the next thing that the Lord Jesus Christ identifies right after this day of the Lord happens is he identifies his return here in verses 30 and 31. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see this description of the events that we're going to read about in the book of Revelation about his coming to the earth. Now, people will read this and they'll start trying to twist some of the things around and say that he's describing not the things in the book of Revelation, but that he's describing the catching out of the saints here, which is not what is actually being made a reference to. He's actually making a reference to the coming for, you know, to establish the kingdom. What we read, and let's go over to the book of Revelation. We'll go to Revelation chapter number 19. To see how John is going to record some of these things about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to establish the kingdom as has been prophetically laid out. And here in Revelation chapter number 19, we're going to start in verse number 11 and we're going to read down through verse number 16. And it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is a description of what's going to happen at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, at the time when the kingdom is going to be established and that setting up of the millennial kingdom. And these are the things that unfortunately you had so many people during the earthly ministry thinking that this is what was going to occur, and because they weren't seeing these things and instead they were seeing him come as the servant, that they were rejecting who he was, thinking that he was not the Messiah that had been spoken of in the scriptures. And this is how, you know, as they struggle with this and they reject it, that you're going to see how they're going to be, you know, kind of, you know, in effect tricked by the individual who's identified as the Antichrist because they've rejected who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They've rejected the true Messiah, and as a result, they're going to be able to, unfortunately, be tricked by that individual. Now, this coming that's actually made a reference to that we've been looking at, you know, the Apostle Paul speaks about a completely separate coming and, you know, the hope for the members of the body of Christ. He lays out the details of this actually in the book that we've been studying in 1 Thessalonians. We'll go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 for a moment to actually read the details that the Apostle Paul gives of this event that is identified in the Scriptures that's called the Day of Christ. It's known as the catching out of the saints. Theologically, individuals will call it the rapture. But we see how Paul lays out exactly what's going to occur with this. We read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We'll read from verse number 13 down through verse number 18. And it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And as we see this description of this event, we see how it is completely different from what we just read over in the book of Revelation. Because in the book of Revelation, we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ is actually going to set foot on planet Earth to establish the kingdom. Here in the 1 Thessalonians, we see how the members of the body of Christ are going to meet him in the air. So he's going to appear in the air. There's going to be the sign that starts identifying, calling it the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And you can see how the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So those who are the members of the body of Christ that have died, they will rise up first. They will meet him in the air. Then those that are alive at the time of this event will go up and be with him. So all members of the body of Christ are going to be part of this event. That's why Paul can describe and say that it's a comfort for individuals, because those that have died are going to have that guarantee of being part of this event. So all of our family members that have had salvation, all those who are, you know, the friends, all those who are just members of the body of Christ, even those we've never even met, all of them are going to be part of this. And it truly is a comfort, because we know that we're going to spend all of eternity with these individuals. So even though we no longer have a relationship with them here on earth, we know that we're going to have that relationship with them in all of eternity, ruling and reigning together with them, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the heavenly places. Now, Paul describes the things that are associated with this event as well. Because, you know, we have, here's the event being laid out here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We see if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 that the Apostle Paul is going to mention something that ties in with this event. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're going to read here verses 51 and 52. And it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So Paul identifies that going along with this event is the fact that we're going to receive the glorified body that's going to allow us to rule and reign with him in the heavenly places. You know, a body that's not going to be corrupted, that's not going to have any of the breakdown, that's going to have a glory that's associated, that's going to have power that's associated. All the things that Paul lays out in this chapter, he is saying that this is what's going to happen to us at this event. So when we see this idea that he's talking about the mystery, the true mystery is the fact that he defines it right in that verse, when he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That true mystery is the fact that there is going to be that actual change of the body. And associated with the fact of he comes, we meet him in the air, we receive that glorified body, there's something else that goes along with this event. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to see Paul identify something here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 of what's going on here. And he says in verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So Paul's identifying that there is an event called the judgment seat of Christ, where the members of the body of Christ are going to receive a reward based on the things that we have done. Now, we talked earlier about how for the nation of Israel, their performance had a direct impact on whether they were going to have salvation or not. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ used those words in Matthew chapter number 24 about someone enduring to the end. That up until the point of their death, that they were going to have to make sure that they were actually doing things, performing the things according to the law in order to maintain their salvation. That's not what is true of the members of the body of Christ. Paul identifies and talks about how we're created unto good works. He talks about how we should do good works. He lays out a lot of different information for us about the practical outworking of the doctrine in our lives. How when we take in the doctrine, we have that transformation, the renewing of our mind, and how that has the impact on who we are, producing, and what it should produce is the good works in us. But even if it doesn't, we still have the guarantee of our salvation. And that's what Paul's describing here, calling it the judgment seat of Christ. And he's identifying this for an assembly that he had already described the details of this in his first epistle to them, telling them what was going to happen. We can see that if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we're going to see where Paul identifies exactly what's going to happen at this judgment seat of Christ for all of the members of the body. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we're going to read verses 10 through 15, so that way we get the idea of what Paul is describing for us here in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So as Paul is describing this, he starts with the fact of that he has laid the foundation and identifies that there's no foundation that can be laid other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for, as we look at that fact, to spend a moment and talk about how, you know, the foundation is always the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have to be careful of which foundation somebody's trying to build upon, because there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the prophetic program, the things that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the things that are written for the nation of Israel and their doctrine, and then there's the information that's been committed to the Apostle Paul, the information that's called the dispensation of the grace of God, that Paul identifies, calls it a mystery, identifies here that he has laid this foundation. So it's the foundation that Paul has laid, the information that we find in the books of Romans through Philemon, that's what we have to be careful about, what it is that we are building upon. And as we're building upon that foundation, we see that there's really two different categories of this information. We see how there's gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are the things that are, you know, when somebody is doing the right things according to the doctrine, so following what Paul has laid out in his epistles, when that occurs, the gold, silver, and precious stones is built. And we know that when you read through Paul's epistles, we know that it's not us who's actually doing it at that point. It's the Lord Jesus Christ working through us that allows for the gold, silver, and precious stones to actually be built. Then there's a category, the wood, hay, and stubble. That's the things that when we try to do things instead of letting the doctrine work out of us, you know, we're always going to mess things up. And the result of us messing up is that we're going to build what Paul identifies as this wood, hay, and stubble, things that when the fire comes down to try all these things, and this is what's going to happen for all the members of the body of Christ. We will appear at the judgment seat. We will be standing there. Everything that we've done is put there in this pile, the gold, silver, precious stones, the wood, hay, and stubble. Then the fire is going to come down. It's going to try all those things. And when you look at those two categories, wood, hay, and stubble, if you expose those things to fire, they burn up. They disappear because they're destroyed by that fire. Now, the gold, silver, and precious stones, when those things are exposed to fire, they don't burn. They're not destroyed. They become purified. You know, that's how, for example, when you talk about gold, that gold keeps going from, for example, 14 karat gold to 24 karat gold by the issue of that gold's exposed to fire and it melts down, and then the impurities are on top. Those are scooped away, and as those impurities are scooped away, the gold becomes more pure. And that's what the fire really is designed to do, is to purify those things. They remain, and then an individual is going to receive a reward according to what remains. So when the gold, silver, and precious stones are there, the individual is going to receive a position in the heavenly places to where we can rule and reign with him. And Paul lays those, you know, positions out in the books of Ephesians and Colossians, describing those positions in the heavenly places. Now, if somebody has everything burned away, so there's nothing left, the glorious thing that we see here is when Paul says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there's still that guarantee of the salvation for the individual even if everything completely burns away. And that's the glorious thing of the truth of the information that's been given to us, the members of the body of Christ. Now, as we close here, we're going to look next time at a couple passages that individuals try to accompany with the catching out of the saints, trying to say that the Lord Jesus Christ identified that in the book of Matthew. So we're going to look at some things and show how Matthew is not talking about the catching out of the saints. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some Bible study charts that individuals can use to help with their Bible study. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information on how to either watch our services live as they occur on Facebook, or how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything that you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.